Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the death of Eric Garner at the hands of an NYPD officer who placed him in a chokehold captured the attention of the nation in 2014, and his last words of "I can't breathe" became a rallying cry that was worn on the T-shirts of NBA players and uttered by members of the U.S. Congress. Well, my next guest says even in France, Garner's death fixated the local media and many French residents. But the unfortunate irony is that death by asphyxiation is one of the main causes of death of young blacks and Arabs arrested by law enforcement in France, and that these deaths are seldom covered by the media or spark major outrage in that country. Joining me now is Rokhaya Diallo, a French journalist, writer, award-winning filmmaker, and activist for racial, gender, and religious equality. Her new documentary, Not Your Mama's Movement, explores the similarities and differences regarding racial tensions in the U.S. and France. Hi, Rokhaya. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for inviting me.
I think listeners may be intrigued by what I just mentioned in the introduction, that the French and their local media are captivated by stories of black men being killed by police in the U.S., but not similar incidents in your own country. Why do you think that is?
I think that there is, first of all, in France, a fascination for the U.S. and for race relations in the U.S. People in France, when they refer to, you know, leaders in civil rights, they always refer to American figures like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, or Angela Davis. And we don't think about France as a multicultural country where minorities have had to struggle, even in history. So it's very easy for the media, the French media, to say, look at the U.S., look how they are racist, and to think about France, our country, as a mainly white and Christian country, forgetting that we have minorities and that they are facing racism, even institutional racism, through the hands of the police.
And you've said that asphyxiation is one of the main causes of death of young blacks and Arabs arrested by law enforcement in France, and these deaths occur while the victims are in police custody away from the eyes of the public. How often does this happen?
It happens, like, I would say 15 times a week. It has been denounced by Amnesty International for several years.
A week? Actually, 15 people are dying in police custody a week in France?
No, a year.
Sorry.
So it's not as high as in the U.S. because we do not have the same issue with the guns and weapons. So people, when they die in the hands of the police, it's mostly hidden in police trucks, in custody, by asphyxiation. So it's very difficult for us to have the same viral information and videos because you don't have people being shot in the eye of the public. It's very hidden. Last summer, a young man called Adama Traoré died in custody. And first, the police said that it was due to heart malfunctions. And we found out that he died because of asphyxiation. But it took more than 2 weeks to find that out. And still, the family wasn't able to prove it because when you don't have any video, people don't believe you. And actually, the other thing is that when the media cover such issues, they never mention the race. So Adama Traoré, the man I just told you about, was a black and Muslim French, but it was not mentioned in the coverage. So people, you know, that they really, when they cover such issues, they may make as if it had nothing to do with race, but it does. It does.
Listeners, anyone else with experience in both France and the U.S. want to compare our two countries on racial and religious and social justice or ask a question of Rokhaya Diallo, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Tell us about the new film, Not Your Mama's Movement. Is it a direct comparison between race relations in the U.S. and in France?
Yes, the starting point of the documentary was the fact that in France, we know the names of the people who died in the U.S. We know Mike Brown, we know Trayvon Martin, we know Sandra Bland, but we don't know the names of our own people, or French people who have died because of the police. So I started to think about that, and then I decided to go to Ferguson to meet some African-American activists to understand how their struggles could reflect on ours. Because as a journalist and as an activist, I have been able to follow what was going on in Ferguson really live, thanks to social media and thanks to Twitter. And that's how I connected with them and was able to go to Ferguson. And I thought that, you know, racism is due to a history of capitalism, slavery, and colonization. And this history doesn't only concern the U.S., but also France. So as being a black journalist, a black activist, I think that we could really think about the struggle at a global level. And I wanted to make American people understand that it was not only in the U.S., and that if we knew the name of the people who have been victims of racism in the U.S., they should know the victims, the names of the French victims, and not only the French, the German, the British people who died because of police brutality and racism. So that was my way to showcase them and to show the history, to their stories, to the world.
You've said that French authorities have used the country's state of emergency in the wake of the wave of terrorist attacks in France to suppress racial justice protests and, in general, freedom of speech. How are they doing that?
Definitely. After Adama Traoré, the young man, died this summer, the family decided to start a peaceful protest in Paris, inside Paris. And the protest was first authorized, and then it was contained by the police. So the people wanted to march, but they were not able to move due to state of emergency. So the riot police came and just contained the whole group of people who was willing to protest. And why were they able to do so? Because of the state of emergency. So as our country is facing a very tragic wave of terrorist attacks, the government is using that to shut all the activists down and to make them not able to protest against the government, saying that the security is at stake. And they are using that, the fear among the French population, to make activists, to shut them down. And it has even been used against environmental activists during the climate conference. Maybe many of them have been jailed.
That's interesting.
Because of that.
Because in the U.S., the issues of racial justice for black Americans is considered a pretty separate issue from the threat of jihadi violence. It sounds like they're much more intertwined in France.
Yes, it is, because the people, the terrorists, they claim Islam, and the largest part of the minorities in France are Muslims. So it's very easy for the government to connect that, because, you know, they would say that the terrorism is due, I don't believe that, but they say that the terrorist wave is due to a lack of integration from Muslim people having an immigrant background. So they're using that to point them out and say that they have a problem, and their problem is their identity and their culture. So it's the law is used against a part of the population who is seen as not French enough. And many people, due to the state of emergency, have been searched by the police. You have, like, after the 2 weeks after the November attacks, you had 2,000 Muslim families that have been searched by the police, and nothing was found. They only found 30 weapons. So it's nothing, 2,000 families versus 30 weapons. It doesn't make any sense. But it really instills fears among Muslim families, because they feel like they are not protected by the police, but seen as a threat.
Sounds like the former stop and frisk regime here in New York City, which produced so few weapons. Risha in Astoria, you're on WNYC with French filmmaker and activist Rokhaya Diallo. Hi, Risha.
Hi. I don't know how relevant this still is, but I lived in France for about a year, about 10 years ago. And when I was there, my experience, I'm Haitian American, was that it was very difficult to have a conversation about racism, because racism was viewed as an issue stemming from slavery and thus not really applicable to the French. It was really an American problem, and that's why we talked so much about it. at the same time, I know people who were followed around stores, and I myself had experienced things like that. So that made it really difficult to feel like we could move in any kind of direction.
That happened to you in France, that you were followed in a store?
Yeah, in Paris.
Rokhaya?
Yeah, I haven't experienced that, but many people around me experienced that. The thing is that race is a real taboo in France. We, our country, used to practice slavery, but it didn't take place in the French mainland, but only in the, you know, the overseas territory. So it's not seen as a French issue. When we think about slavery, we mostly think about the U.S. And France conceives itself as a very universal country. So we don't have data about minorities. We don't count them in the census. So when you are French legally, you're either French or not French, but you're not black, you're not Arab. It doesn't have any legal basis. So it's very difficult for us activists to raise those issues because, you know, to me, people would say, why do you say that you're black? I see you as a French person. But at the same time, I was born and raised in Paris, and I know that I have been treated my whole life as being black. So it's very schizophrenic because at the same time they say that you're French, you know in your daily experience that you're not seen as a true French person, and you have every day to justify the fact that you are French and that you should be treated equally. And so it's very difficult because we don't have that many minorities in position of power who are able to raise this issue in a very, very national level. And all the people who are in position of power, most of them are white, and they don't want to see anything related to race.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Now that you've compared race relations and the racial justice movement in France and the United States and explored some of the differences, do you think that a unified international racial justice movement is possible to a greater degree than it exists today?
I think so. I think that what we are really lucky today to have tools like social media, because it makes us able not only to connect but also to make sure that even if the media don't cover our stories, they are covered by people on Twitter, on Facebook, and on other social media. So I think that it's the time today to connect people in Europe and in the U.S. because we descend from the same story of domination with slavery and colonization, and we have the tools to build something like that. It's easier today to travel than it has ever been. So I think that, you know, the purpose of my movie was to start a conversation, a transatlantic conversation on race. And I think that we can even connect that to the issue of the refugees, because actually we have many refugees in France who come from Africa and from Middle East who are really being treated very badly by the police. We have people in Paris who are living in tents, and they come from Eritrea, from Sudan, from Afghanistan, and I think it has to do with their skin color, according to me. So it's something we are dealing with the police brutality as well.
Rokhaya Diallo's new film is called Not Your Mama's Movement. It premieres at the Schomburg Center in Harlem tonight. That is sold out, but there is a panel discussion afterwards that can be streamed on the Schomburg Center website. And where can people who want to see your film find it? Is it online?
No, it's not, but it will be aired on the French international French-speaking channel TV5. So people can see it on November the 2nd in the U.S. It will be aired at 9 p.m. New York time. So I guess that if people have TV5 Monde, they can see it.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.